1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. In Uvalde, Texas today, bells were rung at St. Philip's Church. It was 2 years ago that 19 students and two teachers were shot and killed at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde. Israel's military says the bodies of three hostages have been found in northern Gaza, CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb in East Jerusalem, on the possible impact on hostage release negotiations.
It's very clear that the Israeli government is on a huge amount of pressure to restart those talks now that we are starting to receive the remains of hostages, many who were killed on October 7th.
The cleanup is beginning after powerful storms ripped through the Midwest last night. This man survived the winds in Frytown, Iowa.
I heard trees falling, banging off the house, and the electricity went off, and I looked out the window, and the barn was gone. So it was a matter of 2 minutes this all happened.
CBS News.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Republican National Committee is turning up the pressure on the Secret Service to move the designated protest area during the summer's national convention in Milwaukee farther away from Fiserv Forum. The RNC is even accusing the Secret Service of not properly addressing security. It claims the convention's security perimeter could open attendees up to a risk of violence. Black voters could hold the keys to the White House this year. Black voters turn out at higher rates than other people grouped by race, but Rashawn Ray of the Brookings Institution says they don't vote as a monolith.
There are some people who would rather stay at home than vote for someone who they don't think aligns with their particular politics and their cultural values.
Black voters are overwhelmingly Democratic. Only about 10% consistently vote for Republicans. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Gary Tracy has been taken into custody by the Stevens Point Police Department. Tracy was wanted by the Adams County Sheriff's Office for two felony bonds for theft by false representation. Tracy was known for offering to sell equipment, taking money as a down payment, and never delivering the items. He was arrested on May 23rd. Dates for the 13th annual Great Book Giveaway have been announced. The United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites you to help fight the summer slide by attending this free book giveaway. All children birthed to 12 years old, along with their parents, grandparents, caregivers, and daycare providers, are invited to attend between June 10th and the 18th. Volunteers will read to children at each location, and afterwards, each child can select free books to take home and keep. You can visit uwswac.org for the full list of times and locations. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers are in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, reporting from Boston, Massachusetts, where the Brewers and the Red Sox face off tonight. No one is more excited to play in Fenway Park this weekend than Sal Frelick, who grew up here but says he feels right at home inside the Brewers clubhouse.
Love everybody in this clubhouse. I think we all mesh really well together, pitchers, position players, everybody, staff. So, yeah, when you get rolling like that, and that it is contagious. Everyone feels good going into the next day.
NBA, the Celtics beat the Pacers here in Boston 126-110 in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics now with a 2-0 lead. NFL in Green Bay, the Packers wrapping up week one of OTA practices. Matt LaFleur on what he's looking for the most.
Compete, bring great energy each and every day, and I think the guys have responded well to that. You know, it's early, but I'm really excited about this group and their ability to come together, compete, to push each other.
That's Matt LaFleur from Boston with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Mostly cloudy today with a couple rounds of showers and thunderstorms. More spark up this afternoon and into the evening, bringing heavy downpours and the potential for some to turn severe, with damaging wind gusts and hail. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
With T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save, because nobody likes having to choose. It's like getting romance and sci-fi.
I love you. Also, I'm a robot.
At T-Mobile, you can get the benefits you want and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. See how with our savings calculator at T-Mobile.com/switch. Plus, switch and keep your phone. We'll pay it off up to $800.
Via virtual prepaid card in 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months. See T-Mobile.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday for a special Best of Devil's Advocates. Never Trumper, former Congressman Joe Walsh, and my Congressman Mark Pocan.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays, 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, May 24th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today at 3:30, we're going to welcome in Superintendent of Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, Craig Bourne. He'll also be bringing in Tim Bean, Rams Athletic Director. We're going to have some students in with us as well. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to this conversation, as always. Linda Brose joins us right now, Administrative Specialist with the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Linda, always good to talk to you.
Same here, James. I'm happy to be here.
Want to send a big thank you to you and the staff at the ADRC that do such great work in our community. We greatly appreciate it, Linda. And we're going to start off our segment here talking about other people and reaching out to others and seeing how much we could use them and volunteers for the ADRC.
Yes, that would be great.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the volunteers we need.
Well, right now we have a few people that might be taking off a few weeks during the summer. Sometimes our routes can get kind of long and maybe would be better served by a couple or a family delivering the meals. We have, I believe it's seven or eight right now in total. Most of them are within the city limits of Rapids. One goes to Port Edwards, to the city of Port Edwards, and then we have a couple rural routes that go out to the Rudolph and Pittsville area. Mm-hmm. So we serve a wide range of customers with our Meals on Wheels program. Mm-hmm.
And certainly, as we've mentioned before with Meals on Wheels, it's one of those ones where it's a great way of putting back into your community without it being a huge time commitment. The ADRC will work with you on this. If you've got an hour lunch break and you're on this part of town, they will try to help you out with dropping a meal off that is in that neck of the woods. If you have a limited amount of time, they'll try to find something nearby and et cetera, et cetera. Isn't that the way it goes, Linda?
It is. We have volunteers that might come in and help prepare the Meals on Wheels, get them packaged up, and then they might deliver a route. On some days, they might just help in the kitchen because time doesn't allow them to deliver a route. So we're, like you said earlier, we're willing to work with anybody's schedule, anything that works for them to be able to help us out, and we really appreciate it. I can't say that enough.
Yeah. This is also, while the meals are important, the nutrition from these meals is vital. It's also an opportunity for you to check in on their neighbors, for you to check in on one of our more vulnerable and one of our more important parts of our society and our seniors out there. But I also have to mention that there's something that you're not going to get in words. You're not going to get Linda or I to be able to put into words. There are the conversations. There are the relationships that you build and the friendships you make dropping these meals off to these individuals. I guarantee you that every meal that you drop off, there's a person there that is going to have a story to tell. And it is a very interesting story and could be very relatable for you or something that you learn from. I know that for me, doing this out in California, I'll never forget the individuals I drop meals off for and some of the life lessons I learned from them, let alone some of the laughs. And they're one of the guys, he made birdhouses, Linda. And I've never met anybody that made birdhouses before. And so I spent the first meal I dropped off there. It almost got cold because we spent so much time talking about making birdhouses. it was great. It was a wonderful guy.
And
these are the kind of things that can happen only if you put yourself out there. You take this hour out of your day or whatever time it might be to see these individuals, drop these meals off, make sure that they're doing okay. It's all things that put back into our community and are greatly appreciated. And as good as we feel you doing these things, I promise you, you are going to feel even better from it.
Oh, absolutely. We have people that might be a little anxious, you know, to be in large groups, and volunteering a delivery meals is a perfect opportunity to kind of put themselves out there and engage with those that don't get out very much. And like you learn, hearing wonderful stories, I hear secondhand some of those stories when the drivers return to us. And on that end, too, you know, from a safety-wise point of view, some of the regular drivers, they get pretty familiar with the personalities and whatnot of the people they take meals to. And so if somebody's kind of having an off day, our drivers will often pick up on that, or they'll call me like, hey, Linda, I think so-and-so seems to maybe not be feeling well. Not sure what's going on, and so then I will call one of their contacts. We ask our recipients to list at least one person that we can call if we have any food-related concerns, such as them maybe not answering the door at mealtime, or again, if the driver has some concerns that, you know, maybe somebody, you know, needs to be checked on a little bit further by family.
Yes.
So it's just so many useful aspects of it. I can't say it enough.
Linda, I have to ask, we'll get right back to Meals on Wheels in a second. Are you calling us from inside a tin can? Are you, you sound like you're in a, it's the volume is sounding a little bit kind of like echoed. It's a little hard to understand you sometimes. But, oh, there I heard you good.
Okay, that.
Oh, there you go. Now I hear you good.
I stood up a little bit to stretch, and I guess that was not a good idea, so I apologize.
No, it's always a good idea to stretch. Always good on you for stretching. That's a great note for everybody out there. Make sure to get your stretches in, everybody. We're speaking with Linda Brost from the EDRC, and we're talking about Meals on Wheels. We're really talking about volunteering at the EDRC. While I think that Meals on Wheels is the one that we like to come out the gate with and really make sure that everybody knows this is something we could use assistance with and use our community to help with. There are other ways to impact Meals on Wheels and to help the ADRC. There is a dining site. There is serving those meals. There is cleanup. Some of this, can we talk about some of these other opportunities, Linda?
Oh, sure. Thank you. Our kitchen is generally open from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., but we don't expect volunteers to stay there the entire time. We have people that might, come in, you know, around 9 o'clock. They might leave at 10:30 or whenever the Meals on Wheels food is packaged up. We do have some that stay the entire time, and we greatly appreciate that as well. But we can accommodate any schedule. You know, we have people that might come in later in the morning because they are going to deliver a route, and even if they're not, they stay to help with the cleanup. And Jane is our site manager for the dining site, and so she works with people. She's great, you know, to accommodate whatever schedule that might allow them to offer to help us.
And you mentioned there, Linda, that this isn't a big time commitment. This isn't one of those things that you have to stick around the whole time for. And certainly, I imagine you can work with people's schedules on this.
Oh, absolutely. And we have some people that aren't able to commit to a dedicated schedule. So they're, for lack of a better word, I'd call them a sub, something like that, where they're willing to be called upon if we're shorthanded or if somebody is out sick or anything like that, and that works better for them. So again, we can work with anybody's schedule so that they can decide how much they're able to volunteer of their time. Something else that I wanted to mention with the nicer weather and school is going to be out soon. I don't think that's happened quite yet, but we do have families that sometimes involve their older children and sometimes grandchildren to help with delivering Meals on Wheels, kind of going back to that again. And that is really wonderful to see that in action. I know our meal recipients really appreciate seeing that. Words cannot describe it. And sometimes we do get older teens that might help out in the kitchen as well, packaging up the meals. So it will be interesting to see what summer brings.
Yeah, that's a wonderful point to bring up, Linda. Honestly, I don't think about that always because I'm so used to, when I think of Meals on Wheels, the experience I had from it, just kind of solo doing it on my own. What a great idea this summer to bring the kids along, bring a kid along or something when you're doing this. This is the way kids learn how to take care of their communities, how to take care of their seniors, seeing us do it. This is a great way of doing that. You could sit there and talk to them, or you could tell them what you're off to do, or you'd make them tag along and come with you.
And while maybe they're
kids about it here in the moment or whatever, I promise you that their future selves are going to thank you for doing this. This is the part of parenting. This is the part of being a guardian or anything is teaching our kids. And certainly you're going to get older too, so you might want them to learn how to take care of older people.
That's right. We're all going to get there someday, whether we like it or not. And it is. It's a great experience for both the children and the adults that have never done this before. It's a real eye-opener for them as well.
And I think it's noteworthy for those that may not know out there, our older population love kids. So I mean, bringing a kid along is never gonna be a bad thing, and certainly gonna add to the moment for you and the person that you're delivering the meal for. That's a great thing to note, Melinda. I appreciate that. I did want to touch on the hours and days that the kitchen is open.
Yes, generally speaking, disregarding holidays, for example, we are closed. Services are closed Monday on Memorial Day, the 27th, but we're otherwise open Monday through Friday. Again, the kitchen is open as far as the volunteer aspect from 9 to 1. And in our dining site, we serve the lunch at 11:45. Mm-hmm. So that generally people are there for a half hour, 45 minutes. Every once in a while, I actually go down there to eat myself. I don't want to give away my age, but I'm able to participate. Yeah. And I really like it just because so many people, I know their names because of them calling to reserve meals and whatnot. But to actually sit down with them, the last time I did that, it was just really wonderful. They knew exactly who I was as soon as I heard, they heard my name. And so then I was able to figure out who's who and put a face to somebody that I more talk to on the phone.
Linda Bros with us right now, administrative specialist with the ADRCCW. And Linda, there's a couple of other things I want to touch on with this subject with you before we wrap up. One is the taking somebody through the what it is, kind of the experience of being on a route and delivering these meals. So delivery times can vary depending on the route, but volunteer drivers generally leave the kitchen, like you said, about 10:30, 10:45, finish up around noon.
That's correct. If it's we do have a longer route that, depending on when the volunteer starts out with it, they might not return until closer to 12:30. I know with our Pittsville route, again, we have a couple drivers that live in Pittsville, so when they're done delivering, they just go home versus, you know, driving back into town.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sometimes it can get to be after a little bit after 12 o'clock. The start time of when they leave can also depend on how many people are on the route that day, and as well as what's being served that day. Some of the food prep and packaging it up can take longer. For example, if we're serving soup and sandwiches, there's a little bit of extra time involved with that as well. But once in a great while, a driver might not leave until 11 because they're doing this on their lunchtime. So, and we do let our customers know, you know, they probably have a general idea of when their meal will arrive, but to like not panic if, you know, it's 11 o'clock and it's not there, just, you know, give it a little bit of time before calling us because it could be running late or who knows. And it might be a new volunteer that's kind of getting familiar with the route. So that would slow up things a little bit too.
Yeah.
But our customers are pretty understanding of that, generally speaking.
And when it comes to being a customer, when it comes to signing up for Meals on Wheels, Linda, how do people do that?
Sometimes if they've been in the hospital or maybe a nursing home for rehab, we might get a referral from the caseworker or social worker there. Sometimes family members refer a loved one to see if they're eligible for the Meals on Wheels. And sometimes people refer themselves. They call to find out, you know, what the criteria is for that. Generally speaking, we would schedule a Meals on Wheels assessment that's usually done in the recipient's home. One of our specialists would go and meet with them for 30 to 45 minutes to determine eligibility. They have to be 60 years old and generally homebound. You know, they might go to doctor's appointments, but they're just very limited on driving. It's hard for them to get groceries. The entire process from the time the referral is made till the meal's getting delivered can vary from 1 to 2 weeks. Sometimes clients don't want the meals to start right away, and again, we accommodate their schedule too.
We will give you the number that you can call for assistance and more information and the website before we wrap up today. Linda, one of the last questions I really had for you is a great one that you brought to us, and I appreciate. You get asked often, who funds Meals on Wheels?
Well, there are several sources. We do get some federal support through the Older Americans Act. We also receive some Medicaid dollars. As well as the USDA provides some funding. And additionally, our participants receive a letter each month that outlines how many meals they received the previous month and the suggested donation cost and what they could send in if they like. However, nobody is denied meals based on their ability or inability to pay. You know, we have some people that their means allows them to donate more than the suggested amount. And we do have some people that just send what they can, you know, any of that, that works for us. We do get private donations, as well. We just had that happen a few weeks ago after a recipient passed away. The friends and family opted to donate funds towards our Meals on Wheels program, which was very, very kind of them.
Yeah, and it's really cool of you, I think, Linda, to share this information with us. You know, transparency goes so far with people, and we never know, that can be the thing that pushes them to maybe get involved with this and help out with the ADRC. You guys do such vital work in this community. We want to give you a hand any chance we can. This is one of the greatest ways we can. Senior dining and Meals on Wheels, these are the volunteers are the lifeblood of these things.
They are. You know, regarding the funding, it's like our volunteers, when they help us out, they're contributing as well because their hours are counted to show in-kind support for the senior dining and the Meals on Wheels. If we didn't have our volunteers, we wouldn't be able to serve as many members in our community, and we wouldn't have the funding to do so. So, you know, they're helping out, I think, in more ways than they even realize.
Yeah. And, you know, just by spending an hour doing this Meals on Wheels or something, you could be one of the major reasons to keep this program going, helping the EDRC and CW do the work that they're doing. Just from an hour's work, you can do that. Just from an hour.
Absolutely.
Of... And I always like to mention, too, that volunteering is a great word, and I think it's a beautiful word. I also look at, when I hear volunteer, I hear investment. I hear people investing in their community. With a program like this, you are investing in the people that paved the way for us to all be here right now and helping our seniors. You're investing in the EDRC-CW and the great work that they do in this community. That's what you're doing with that hour of your spending of your day to do something like this, is investing in your community.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. You know, again, they are surprised when that's explained to them. We do a volunteer celebration every year, typically in May, at all of our offices, just to show our appreciation to our volunteers. And again, that's an opportunity for me to sit with them and you know, answer some questions if they have it, or any concerns. And again, they're often pleasantly surprised to find out that it, you know, their time spent with us means more than they realize.
Yeah. Linda, it's always great talking with you. A big thank you to you and the ADRC and all the work that you guys do in this community and hanging out with us a couple times a month to talk with you all. If people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about Meals on Wheels or ways to volunteer, or maybe even signing up for Meals on Wheels, where can they reach you?
They can call our regional number at 888-486-9545. Additionally, they can, and that's for to either ask about Meals on Wheels or ask about volunteering, ask for an application. Additionally, our website, adrc-cw.org, we also have the volunteer applications there, and there's also a form that people can fill out to refer themselves or a loved one for the Meals on Wheels. They can fill it out and send it, and then a member of the staff, including me, will see that and then act appropriately to get the ball rolling, whatever it is that they're asking about.
Mm-hmm. And also want to remind you that they have a fantastic website, adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org, another way to find out great information and ways to impact and help your local ADRC. Linda, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. Really appreciate it. You have a great day.
You too. You take care. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Weight isn't just a number. It's a ticking bomb that will one day ruin your health, if it hasn't already. Sick and tired of fad diets that don't work? Wausau Weight Loss offers you the real deal, a natural, effective path to weight loss without the hassle of counting calories or endless gym hours. With our proven program, clients are shedding up to a pound a day. Real people, real results. Hear their stories. Witness the transformation.
Hi, I'm Ivor from Marshfield. I lost 130 pounds and over 60 inches. I've got so much more energy than I ever had before, and I also have the confidence to pursue cycling and kayaking and keeping up with my grandkids.
Wausau Weight Loss offers a groundbreaking approach with no gimmicks or temporary fixes. Just sustainable, healthy weight loss. Don't wait. Diffuse that ticking health bomb with Wausau Weight Loss and lose as much as 30 pounds in a month. Visit WausauWeightLoss.com or call now for your free, no-obligation consultation at 715-502-4748. 715-502-4748. That's 715-502-4748.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Max Inc. Radio.
Love great music? You'll find this weekend full of it during the Live in the Lair Memorial Day Weekend Marathon. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, Rocker, and Jimmy K.
Weekend evenings, 6 until midnight, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It'll get easier to charge your electric vehicle in 5 years. Governor Evers has announced plans for 53 new electric vehicle charging stations across the state. About half of them will be at Quick Trip convenience stores. The idea is to never be more than 50 miles away from a recharge. The initiative will cost $78 million. Wisconsin is gearing up for a busy summer tourism season. Logan Rogie of Travel Wisconsin says outdoor recreation and festivals are the state's two biggest draws.
We have those signature festivals, EAA, Adventure, and Summerfest, but there's some new ones like Art 64 in Wauwatosa or Harley-Davidson's Homecoming.
Memorial Day weekend travel is expected to be the busiest since the pandemic. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A historic event happens in Wisconsin Rapids tomorrow. The first ever in Wisconsin, and possibly the first in the country, all-female veteran Quilts of Valor ceremony will be held at the East Junior High School Fieldhouse. A Quilt of Valor is described as a citizen award for the individual's service and sacrifice to defend our country's freedom. Since 2003, over 370,000 quilts have been made by volunteers. In the Wisconsin Rapids area, the Material Girls Quilt Club awarded 292 of these quilts. Festivities will begin on May 25th at 1:30. 47 female veterans will receive a quilt in recognition for their time spent in uniform in defense of our country. June blood drive dates are posted. The Community Blood Center will be collecting donations on Tuesday, June 18th from 10 to 3 and Monday, June 24th from 2 to 7 at the former East Junior High School. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Imagine having to go on TV or write a book to tell the world you are not a racist. Such is the case with actor Michael Richards. Richards, who played Kramer on Seinfeld, is promoting his new book, Entrances and Exits. In a recent interview, the actor addressed his onstage incident in 2006 at the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles. After being heckled, Richards launched into a racist rant, which included the N-word. Richards continues to claim he's not a racist and has apologized numerous times on TV, including on The Late Show with David Letterman. Apparently, there is trouble in paradise, or Los Angeles, in the form of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez's marriage. Sources close to the couple say they are not getting along. What? I have no doubt they will work it out and live happily ever after. Between them, they've been married 6 times, so they should be really good at it by now. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a couple rounds of showers and thunderstorms. More spark up this afternoon and into the evening, bringing heavy downpours and the potential for some to turn severe with damaging wind gusts and hail. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
One, two, three.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, military veteran and subject of the Netflix documentary Father, Soldier, Son, Brian Eich joins the show. And Max Inc.'s Terry Barr checks in and reports from Bratfest.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, May 24th, 2024. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And we are welcoming into the studio not only Craig Bourne, superintendent of the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Craig's not near a mic, so we say hi to Craig. But we do want to introduce our headliners today, if you will. First off, we have Tim Bean with us, Rams Athletic Director. Tim, good to see you. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Thanks. Thanks for the time, Tim. Appreciate it. And we want to introduce the kids. We've got a bunch of these great kids with us right now. We want to go ahead and you guys go right on down the line and introduce yourselves, and we'll start with you.
I'm Ross Estack.
Ross, what grade are you in, Ross?
I'm a seventh grader.
Excellent. Thanks for being here, Ross.
I'm Oakley, and I'm in eighth grade.
Oakley, thanks for being here.
I'm Peyton, and I'm in eighth grade.
Peyton, thank you for being here.
I'm Ava, and I'm also in eighth grade.
Ava, good to see you. Thank you very much for being here, all of you. I cannot imagine how hard it was for you to leave school and just hang out with me for a little bit. I appreciate the sacrifice. No, I'm kidding. Thanks for being here, you guys. Thanks so much. Tim, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk to you for a little bit first. Just kind of diving in first to athletics in the middle school range. I know that, like a lot of our listeners out there, I was in a lot of athletics in middle school. I enjoyed them. I could not get enough of being in them. And for me, it was a big way of how I made friends, how I moved to this area as a transplant. I didn't know a lot of people. Athletics were the sole reason I made any friends in this area because I was fast, things like that. But it just speaks to, it's just an example of how much bigger athletics is than just the score at the end of the game.
Right. And, to speak on that behalf, we've opened up our athletic program to being a community service program, and it's open to all middle school students, whether you're public, private, open enrolled, or homeschooled, who live within the attendance area, can join us sports here at Rams. We offer 33 different sports teams throughout the course of the season. We kick off the year in fall with 14 different teams. We go from sixth grade intramurals, which is our flag football program, and a volleyball program for our sixth graders, so they have an opportunity to get involved. It's a good way for them to transition into the middle school from the elementaries and getting to know some of the other kids from the other elementary schools. We have seventh grade tackle football, eighth grade tackle football. We have seventh grade girls volleyball, eighth grade girls volleyball. We open up boys soccer to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, as well as girls tennis and girls swimming, and then boys and girls cross country. So that's our fall season. Our fall season's really quite busy. Mm-hmm. We kick the fall season off this next year. Now we'll kick it off a week before school. Starting date will be August 19th. It's a Monday. With the exception of football, the two football teams will get the pads on a little bit earlier because they need a little bit more time. So they'll kick off August 12th. So we'll have that information out to all our student athletes here in the next week. We'll have a meeting and I'll get that information out so parents can plan accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Tim, real quick, as we're diving into this subject, I always like to give the audience a chance to know you guys a little bit more, too. What brought you to this, to athletics?
Well, if you talk to my wife, she says athletics is number one in my life, and then she's number two. It's just been a passion of mine ever since I've been a small kid. I've been involved in sports since the day I could walk, and until the day I stop breathing, I'll be involved. I've been involved, as an athlete myself, and post my playing days, been real involved with the high school. Been keeping score clock for the Lincoln High School varsity games for 33 years. We'll plan on continuing to do that. It's just a nice way to see the student athletes, outside the classroom, and be involved. A big pitch out there: we do need bus drivers in all communities. for sporting events. We've lost a number of sporting events over the past 2 years just because of lack of bus drivers in all communities. So if you want a good part-time gig, look to your local bus depot and get signed up to get your CDL and help drive some of these kids around to their sporting events.
That's a great note. Thank you for that, Tim. Appreciate that. We'll make sure to wrap up mentioning that one more time. The things that athletics has brought into your life, the doors that it has opened, the avenues it's given you. We like athletics. We think it's fun. We love watching these games, playing in these games. But it's bigger than that, and it's brought more than that for you, I imagine.
Absolutely. It's established a lot of friendships, you know, that I still have to this day, you know, and keep in contact with a lot of the people that I played on sports teams with. And I see that in these guys, and that puts a smile on my face. There's just the relationships that they create and the memories, and I'm sure the kids are going to talk about some of their memories that they have here at the middle school level. And they're only going to create more as they go up to Lincoln High School, you know, in the 4 years that they'll spend up there. So that common connection, sports can build a sense of community. People coming together on a Friday night to go out to the football games. You know, you got the bands involved, you got kids that are involved with the cheer and stunt, and you have the dance teams, you know, so it's bigger than just actually the sports team. I mean, it draws the community together, so and it gives the kids a positive connection outside of school.
And this is you teed me up, man. Nicely done. This is exactly where I wanted to take things before we get to the kids here, is the importance of athletics in our societies, in our communities, especially here in Central Wisconsin, in the Rapids area, how much they mean to us. We certainly, again, we love seeing the scores. We like seeing our local high school, our alma mater win a game against a rival in some of these things. But I imagine for a lot of us, our earliest sports memories are a little similar to mine. I grew up in a hockey house, and my first memory of my father is in a game, and he's going back and forth with this guy, and they're beating the daylights out of each other, and they're both in the penalty box and all this. And at the end of the game, both teams are lined up, and they're shaking hands, and my dad and this guy are holding the line up because they're laughing and talking, and they went out and had a good time afterwards and everything. Like the form of athletics, yes, it's fun to win and all that, but it's so much more about humanity. It's so much more about just building relationships and building people up. And when at this level with the kids, there are life lessons that get learned throughout the course of a game, throughout the course of training, throughout these things. Learning really early in life that you get what you put in. And nobody just hits the field or hits the diamond good at something. You got to train. You got to practice. Different things like that really come from athletics.
Absolutely. You look at it from that standpoint as far as it's bigger than just you. You know, you're part of a team, and, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link, so to speak. And it helps. You know, the other night the girls played their last softball game in Mosinee, and we had a number of girls on our team this year that had never played softball. And the gal that we were facing that night happened to be a really good pitcher. And the girls that had never played actually put the bat on the ball. And it was really exciting. These gals that are, you know, skilled and play all the time were just as happy to see them put the ball in play, and the smiles on those girls' faces. You can't put a price tag on that.
No.
You know, so that is an experience that they'll probably never forget, you know. Even if they don't play high school sports, you know, they'll think back to that time, you know, where they put the bat on the ball, you know, in seventh grade or eighth grade, and the feeling that they had is just immeasurable. You just can't put a price tag on it. And it's those experiences that are so positive and can absolutely change, you know, the direction of somebody maybe who's going down the wrong path, and now they've had this success and, you know, it changes them.
Yeah, I'm one of the prime examples of this. There's no way I'm in this chair. There's no way I'm in this area right now without athletics, without sports. It was a huge integral part of my life, and I know that there are many out there that can nod their head and agree with that one too. Tim, we'll talk more in just a moment. I want to talk to you a little bit about the many people that come together to make these games go on and everything. But I want to talk to the kids. I've been dying to talk to you guys. Actually, I love talking talking with kids. And I'm really looking forward to hearing from all of you. I want to go down the line here with each one of you. I'd like to know the sports that you're a part of and some of your favorite things about being in that sport and what you enjoy about it. And Ross, you get you sat in that chair. You get to be the first one to go here and everything. So if you don't mind, get right up to the mic, Ross. Let us know what sports you're in and what you like about them.
I'm in football, basketball, and baseball, and it's just fun to be with your friends and, like, make those memories. And my dad's coached me in football and baseball for a couple of years. I think basketball is the only one he hasn't coached me, and that's pretty fun to just make those memories with him.
You're hitting on all my favorite sports, Matt. Do you have one you like more than the other?
I'd say baseball is probably my favorite.
Got any great memories from your years so far in sports? Your years, I'm talking about, like it's 10 or like it's been doing this 20 years or so. But over the time you've done this, is there any memory that stands out to you?
Probably going undefeated in football.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. Yeah. Congratulations. Nicely done. Yes, that's awesome. Well done, yeah. Thank you, Ross. Appreciate it. Nicely done. Oakley, I'll ask you the same questions. What sports are you in and what you enjoy about them?
So I'm in football and wrestling. And definitely one of my most favorite memories from my sports career is when the 8th grade or 7th grade wrestling team won conference last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. It came down to the last match, you know, and it was actually one of our newer wrestlers that had the pressure put mm-hmm. on him. So, yeah, he ended up winning and took home the conference title.
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling to be a part of something like that and just to see it happening in real time and everything. And it's almost like it's written sometimes that way, the way things fall out and stuff. Yeah. I remember hearing about that. It sounded really fun to be a part of. I can imagine being right there and seeing it. It had to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Nicely done, Oakley. Ava, I want to put you in the next and ask you, what are some of the sports you played and what do you enjoy about them?
I've done softball and basketball for the past 2 years I've been at Rams. And a thing that's probably fun is the bus rides because you get to, like, talk to your team and you get to learn about them and you get to have conversations and stuff.
You're so right about this. I never think about that. But as soon as you said that, one of the things I think I miss the most about being in high school sports and everything was those bus rides, traveling to places and being able to hang out with my friends and talk and prepping for the game or any of that. That is a fun part of it. Good on you for that. Ava, do you have a favorite memory of your athletics?
Not really. It's just fun to get to, like, talk to new people and, like, you get to work on your skills and you get extra reps at the sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well done. Very nice job. And Peyton?
So I play softball and basketball, and I really like just, like, being with your team and making, like, all those memories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any memories that stand out to you?
Probably, like, my first home run just on Wednesday.
Oh, just this past Wednesday?
Yeah.
Nice. Nicely done. Congratulations. I think I've hit maybe like two or three homers in my life. Like, that's it. Like, I mean, even up until like this week. Like, that's pretty impressive. You're already getting ahead of me on this one. Nicely done. That's cool. How did that feel?
Oh, it felt pretty good.
Yeah. I had to feel pretty amazing. You see that ball go over the hit. Oh, that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Nicely done, you guys. Very nicely done. And thank you. I think you did a really good job of giving the audience an idea of not only your experiences, but what other kids experience and what other kids can experience. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. Y'all did a really good job today. A pluses all around. I don't actually grade. I'm sorry. It doesn't really count. But A pluses all around for all of you. Tim, go ahead.
I have one thing I want to add to Peyton's home run the other night. Mm. So every day I have a sports minute that I do on the announcements, and we talk about the things that went transpired the night before with any sporting events. And so on the announcements, I said that Peyton had hit a home run to dead center field, 325 feet. And so as the day progressed, I had all these baseball guys catching me in the hallway and saying, Mr. Bean, we are looking it up online. A softball field isn't 325 feet to center field. It's only 200 feet. I said, you're right. I got you guys. So they were checking up on me.
Yeah,
they were paying attention on the announcement. So it was kind of funny. They were all up in arms about that.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. We're speaking with Tim Bean, Rams Athletic Director. We have Ross, Oakley, Ava, and Peyton also with us from our local Rams school. And, of course, Craig Bourne is with us, Superintendent Craig Bourne is with us. Tim, if you don't mind, I wanted to take a moment not only to shout out and thank the people that helped make these games go on and everything, but also to kind of note to the audience that how important it is to have these individuals going forward so that we can keep having all of these great experiences and these great memories for these kids. It, as you touched on it right away in the beginning of this, it takes a lot of people to make these things happen.
It certainly does. And, you know, I take a look at, you know, we have 62 coaches that we have between the three seasons. And, you know, a third of our coaches come from the people in the community. Mm-hmm. And so we really need that community support to pull this off. And as, you know, we get more and more into the, you know, kids' sports here, and teachers, you know, are so tapped out by the end of the day with the, how taxing their day is, we have fewer teachers that are, you know, coaching, or we, have had teachers that have coached for 25 plus years and now are getting to the end of their career and are stepping back. And, you know, that's the toughest sell at the middle school level is finding coaches, because we're really limited with, you know, who can get off at 3 o'clock to come and, you know, coach, you know, yeah. They, you know, their jobs require them to be, you know, there till three. So I just want to thank all of those people in the community who have been able to adjust their schedules and make them flexible for, you know, for us, and come in and have an opportunity to coach our kids. And I just can't thank them enough. So not only them, but all, you know, all the teachers, you know, that jump in and coach, and the instructional aides that jump in and coach, you know, our event workers, you know, mm-hmm. we can't pull these off without having people, you know, work the events. Our custodial staff does an amazing job of keeping everything ready and playable for us, you know, and safe. The admin for their support, you know. So it takes a large number of people to pull this off, mm-hmm. and just, you know, I'm kind of like the conductor here, just sure. kind of orchestrating it all. So thanks to everybody. It's just wonderful. We hold a huge wrestling tournament at the middle school level called Battle by the River each third weekend in January, and high school wrestlers come down and help us run that event. We have people in the community who run the, you know, the concessions. I mean, it's a huge deal. There's well over 300 boys that wrestle. You know, we start at 9 in the morning, and you're usually done sometime after supper. And we use that as our major way to fundraise to keep our wrestling program up and going. Those wrestling mats are not cheap. Mm-hmm. And through the course of the last several years, we've raised enough money now where we're able to purchase some of the newer mats. The old mats are kind of seeing their time, and they're on their way out. They're big and heavy and clunky, yeah. and the new mats are real nice and light, small sections. And so just thanks to everybody who jumps in and helps out. I you know. Couldn't do it without them.
No, and if I could piggyback off of what you're saying there, certainly a shout out to all the referees and umpires and people that volunteer and able to do that. And none of this happens without parents. Parents getting the kids, getting these kids to practices, getting these kids, picking them up, helping where they can, volunteering where they can. It's a gigantic part of this is the parents and them being, you know, great team players, if you will, to be a part of these things. Because while you've heard from the kids, you've heard from Tim about the importance of athletics and the fun of athletics. It's one of those things that, well, as big as it is, it's hard to imagine sometimes, but there are communities that don't have these, or communities that don't have as many programs as ours. We're very fortunate in this area to have the programs we do, to have the facilities that we do. In order to keep those things, going, we continue to need people to do these jobs.
Absolutely, and you touched on another key point is officiating. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another way to, you know, give back to the younger generation is get involved and become an official, especially at the middle school level. It doesn't take a whole lot of certifications in order to do that. You know, and we're always looking for officials.
Yeah.
So that's another great way to be involved.
You know, I talk to people at least a couple times a week, community members, people that want to put back into their community, want to know what they can do to help their community in that. And we understand that not everybody has dollars and cents possibly to donate or something, but almost everybody can volunteer. When I say volunteer, I hope people that also hear what I'm truly meaning here, investing. It is investing, donating, volunteering. This is an investment. This is an investment in the greatest resource we have, our future. These kids are going to run things. These kids are going to do things. And all you're doing by being a part of athletics in this is helping that happen. You are making an investment in your community. You're making an investment in these kids that all of us can take part in, all of us can be a part of. And it's one of the greatest things you can do with your life, let alone for your community or anything else. So we encourage you, whether it is like Tim mentioned, we need bus drivers, we need refs, we need volunteers, we need people to help with these things. I know you hear the word volunteer. Keep in mind that I'm talking about an investment. It's an investment in the future. It's an investment in these kids. And not for nothing, it's a lot of fun. Like, we haven't even gotten to the fun part of this. The kids covered it. Of course, they did a great job of that, covering the fun part of this. But athletics are fun. It's an entertainment. It's a great release. It's such a fun thing for the community to be a part of as well.
Absolutely. And a lot of these things that they're learning in these sports, they'll carry them well beyond their middle school and high school years into their careers and their job professions. You know, the work ethic, the accountability, being part of a team, you know, all of those things that they learn through sports will help them in their future.
Yeah. And certainly, Craig, I have just one thing for you, if you don't mind. One of the things that we understand certainly is, you know, if none of this reaches you or anything, how about your taxes? How about the economic impact? We understand how much athletics bring into this community economically and everything. That part is a key part of what we're talking about here, too, as well.
No question. Yeah. And when you look at like high school athletics and some of the things we host with, we're lucky enough to host state gymnastics, state cross country, multiple other tournament style events here that bring thousands and thousands of people to town. And they, when they're coming, they bring their money and spend it here. So yeah, that impact is massive. And another thing that I was thinking about as, you know, we're talking about and having this focus on middle level athletics or just athletics in general, is that a lot of the times what you end up hearing is, oh, that's all you're focused on is athletics. That's all you're focused on. And that it couldn't be further from the truth, because what the difference is and what I would point to is the fact that athletics and other co-curriculars are evident, whereas academics and those sorts of achievements are not. So general community is not in the classroom. The general community was not in attendance last evening, Wednesday evening, when 93 different high school seniors from Lincoln High School received over 256 different scholarships for academic achievement, among other things, and were recognized for that. And so you have to think about, you know, what the overall focus of the organization is and what the organization would be without co-curriculars and athletics. The benefit, to draw back to the first point that you made, here in particular, is blatantly obvious when you know that it's bringing dollars into town and outside groups to utilize our facilities. And that's huge. So that's a way that the school district can be, have a broader impact in the broader community and in the economy, where you don't necessarily see that in many other communities. So we're super lucky in that regard. The middle school programming that we can offer to bring kids through that level, if they want to be done after middle school, fine. Middle school is about exploration and trying as many different things as you can. If you continue to move on, that's great too. I have three kids. They started playing sports when they're 4 or 5 years old and have done so all the way through their high school career. And I wouldn't want it any other way because, of course, it's super entertaining to be involved, and it creates leadership opportunities and assists kids in becoming decent human beings.
Yeah. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it. Very well said. I appreciate the time from all of you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really do appreciate the time. Tim, keep up the great work, and thank you again for joining us.
I appreciate it, and thanks to all those people, again, that have jumped in to help us out here at the middle school level with sports. I really appreciate it, from, you know, bus drivers to the officials to coaches to event workers. Couldn't do it without you, so thank you again.
And appreciate the time from you and Craig. And you guys were awesome today. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to thank Ross, Oakley, Ava, Peyton. Thank you very much for joining us, and a big thank you to your teachers for allowing you to join us and everything as well. Appreciate you guys. Take care. Enjoy your futures. Enjoy where you go, okay? We will have more Midday Magazine for you next week, but I do want to remind you that if you'd like to be a part of things, find out more at WRPS.org, WRPS.org. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here on WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special Memorial Day show as we have on Jeremy Lyon from the Department of Veterans Affairs and looking back at Gold Star families.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.